السلام, we know that even the Imam say that they have talked about these signs, but they say that there is a possibility of change or bada. Of course, there are five signs. The very occurrence of these five signs are for sure. And the Imam says that there is no bada in that. We're talking about the uprising of Sufyani, Yamani, Khasf Baida, the Sayha, the cry from the sky, and the murder of Nafsa Zakiya. According to great Shia scholars, there is no bada regarding the occurrence of these five. But about other signs and about the details of these signs, there is a possibility of bada or change. So the knowledge of the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet are based on the tablet of Al-Mahw wal-Ithbat,
yes,
which can be changed. Of course, we are not talking about Islamic beliefs. We are not talking about Islamic laws. Whatever the Prophet and the Imams they have said, they are the truth. We are talking about the prediction of the events in future. So one of the reasons for having these two tablets is to show the difference between God as the omniscient, who is the only being who has access to the preserved tablet, and other human beings, even the Prophet and the Imams. They just know whatever is mentioned in the tablet of effacement and affirmation. And that is why it gives a great hope for any human beings. You may have committed so many sins, and even a great mystic, please pay attention to this example, you may go to a great arif, a great mystic, and based on his level of spirituality, he may tell you that, there is no hope for you. Because he see in the tablet of effacement and affirmation that you have a bad ending. But the point is that you can change your destiny through your actions, even against the understanding of that arif, of that mystic,
Yes. Because
he doesn't have the knowledge of the preserved tablet. So through your actions, you can change what is written in the tablet of Al-Mahw al-Ithbat, and it changes, and you can change your destiny. And it gives a lot of hope for all the people. That you can change your destiny in any time. And this is one of the reasons when you read the narrations regarding Bada, you get surprised that why the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam have insisted a lot upon understanding of this doctrine.
That's right. For example, giving sadaqah, respecting the parents, or doing goodness towards
exactly.
The orphans and the destitute, these all will change your destiny.
Exactly.
In the future. Okay.
There are many reasons when it comes to increasing your lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, as you rightly mentioned, they are mentioned in the narrations, and also for decreasing your mm-hmm. lifespan. So everything, all these changes happen in the tablet of effacement and affirmation, but there is no change in the preserved tablet. We have some examples in the Noble Book of Quran that, for example, we know that the people of Yunus, John, they were about to be punished. And Yunus, alayhi salam, thought, based his knowledge of the law of Al-Mahw al-Ithbat, that his people will be punished. So he left the people.
Mm-hmm.
But then the people repented and their destiny just changed.
That's right.
Against the understanding of Yunus and John. And this is the difference between a prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people, although their prophet thought that they will be punished, but they changed their destiny through repentance. So this verse of the Quran is clearly referring to this reality. And as you mentioned, the narrations talk about good morality, salatul rahim, giving charity as factors for increasing your life, and some sins for decreasing your life. Like, on the other hand, Qat'ur Rahim, for example.
That's right. Thank you very much, Shaykh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding the topic of, Lawh Mahfuz and Lawh Mahfuz and Nisbat. It was very kind of you. But all in all, we could say that according to the Shiite beliefs, in the night of Qadr, we can say so many of the destiny and the future life of a human being, a Muslim one, will be preserved for him on that night. Through prayer or worshipping Allah or du'as, we can change them. Through repentance and istighfar, we can also change many of the future life of ourselves, inshallah, in the upcoming life. Thank you very much, Sheikh. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fi al-jannati nahran min laban li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Eruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Pureza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
The fifth export potential exhibition of the Islamic Republic of Iran, dubbed Iran Expo 2023, has officially kicked off in the Iranian capital, Tehran. Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi inaugurated the exhibition. During his speech, Raisi hailed Iran's progress despite sanctions, saying Iranian scientists and industrialists have managed to make great achievements. He also said that the Iranian government has set a 40-year record exporting over $50 billion worth of commodities since August 2021 when his government came into power. Since the early hours of the opening, the exhibition salons were packed with investors and business people from every corner of the world.
We have come from Burkina Faso and are very happy to participate in the Iran Expo exhibition. Our area of activity is processed agricultural products. This event has brought together a lot of businessmen and entrepreneurs from around the world. It's our honor to be part of this expo.
We come here to Iran many times and it's safe and it's nice people here and we are like a brother. No any problems. Actually, I encourage people to come here to Iran. It's a very fantastic country.
Representatives from 60 foreign countries have participated in this year's event. The UAE, Pakistan, Russia, Turkey and China are among the countries taking part in the exhibition. There are a total of 750 domestic companies and representatives at the event that have put their products on display in different industrial, medical, and petrochemical areas, as well as home appliances and food industries. The fifth export potential exhibition of the Islamic Republic of Iran showcases the trade and investment opportunities in the country for foreign businessmen and entrepreneurs.
I want to thank the Iranian authorities for having the great idea of holding this exhibition. We are interested in cooperation with lots of companies here, especially pharmaceutical procedures, as well as those involved in construction.
We are here from China, and our country has very good diplomatic relations with Iran. China is also vigorously promoting partnership with Iranian companies. We hope that Iran continues its path of progress, and today we're here to see the products Iranian companies can export to China.
The exhibition will be held from May 7th to 10th. Iranian officials have estimated that the expo will help add more than $2 billion to the country's export revenues.
Iran Expo 2023 provides a platform, a perfect platform for investment in non-oil industries of Iran. And the presence of thousands of people in this year's event highlights this fact. Mahdi Abbasian, Tehran.
Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida became the first Japanese leader to visit South Korea for a bilateral summit after 12 years. Despite ongoing historical disputes, President Yoon has reached out to Tokyo with plans to possibly include Japan in its alliance with the U.S.
Washington. Both countries are exposed to North Korea's nuclear threats, and the military cooperation is needed more than ever. The Washington Declaration at the moment is an agreement between South Korea and the U.S., but we do not rule out the possibility of Japan's participation.
Japanese Prime Minister Kishida sought to reassure South Koreans over the impending release of contaminated water from the 2011 nuclear disaster. He also welcomed the opportunity for Japan to participate in a network of military alliances.
North Korea continues to carry out provocations in the region, and there is a sign that there is an attempt to change the current status by force. Based on this assessment, we agreed we have to strengthen deterrence and ability to respond to threats through Japanese-U.S. alliance, the South Korea-U.S. alliance, the South Korea-Japanese alliance, and the trilateral alliance.
Both supporters and detractors rallied outside the presidential compound. Many opposed President Yoon's outreach to Japan and militaristic pro-U.S. policies and question his patriotism.
Is President Yoon Suk-yeol, who is driving the Korean Peninsula towards Cold War confrontation while taking the lead in representing the interest of the United States and Japan, is he really the president of South Korea?
South Koreans have also been critical of President Yoon for creating a South Korean foundation to compensate victims of Japan's colonial rule. Improved relations between South Korea and Japan will no doubt be welcomed by the U.S., which wants to see a strengthened trilateral military alliance. And despite domestic opposition, President Yoon seems fully committed, with the largest ever joint U.S.-South Korea military exercises slated to start later this month. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Britain now has a new king. At the first coronation the world has seen in 70 years, the Archbishop of Canterbury crowned British royals Charles and Camilla at Westminster Abbey on Saturday, ushering in the reign of King Charles III. The main focus of British state media was the splendour and grandeur of the spectacle. However, controversy still surrounded the day. Anti-monarchy activists belonging to the peaceful Not My King protest movement were rounded up and arrested ahead of the coronation. The arrests included group leaders.
It's a completely peaceful demonstration. The police, without telling us why, without telling us where they're taking them, have arrested all the rallying organisers. They've seized all our placards. It feels like something out of a police state because we still don't know why anyone's been arrested and we still don't know where they're taking our people. You know? Britain's meant to be a democracy, but Charles isn't treating it like one.
Even before the event took place, criticism of the royal family remained relatively widespread. A survey by the National Centre for Social Research showed public support for the monarchy has fallen to a historic low. A total of 45% of respondents said either it should be abolished, was not at all important, or not very important. Young people particularly expressed embarrassment over the institution's continued existence. Elsewhere, similar polling revealed that many of the King's subjects across the Commonwealth would vote to remove the UK monarch as their head of state, raising speculation that more nations will ditch the Commonwealth in the near future. The ongoing cost of living crisis, undemocratic power, and seemingly endless scandals are among the many reasons experts believe the UK royals' popularity has plummeted.
I don't think anyone can be happy, especially looking at the economic state right now. Well, you only have to go out in the streets and some of the famous streets in London and look how many people are suffering and sleeping on the streets. And that is quite embarrassing and appalling for any sort of government, let alone a monarchy, to be proud to celebrate and spend that amount of money when people are suffering.
Why there are many mainstream platforms. So what the royal family stands for today might be different, but it's very, very difficult to erase history. And they have to respect that a large portion of the public still connect them to, let's say, some incredibly sad, vicious and violent times.
The new monarch now faces many challenges, and they're not just including the social, economic and political crises which plague the nation, but also the deep divisions within his own family as well. Depending on how the king handles these many crises could heavily impact the fight for survival that the royal institution now finds itself in. Robert Carter, Windsor.
Showing absolutely no remorse. These are the confessions of the man that led the Harakat al-Nizal separatist group, responsible for several terrorist operations in Iran that left over 450 casualties in a span of 15 years.
According to our plan, our members received military training. That is because we wanted to give the impression that Harakat al-Nizal is strong and can carry out military operations. We even started our activities with an attack on the governor's office inside the city in a residential area.
Based on the theory that the end justifies the means, the Swedish-backed terrorist ringleader masterminded one of the deadliest terror attacks in Iran. In 2018, the attack on a military parade in the southwestern city of Ahvaz killed at least 25 people and injured 70 others, many of which were civilian onlookers.
You could say that all of those who were killed or injured in the attacks were ordinary civilians. We really didn't care. Even many of them were Arabs, and that was okay. We just wanted everyone to know about us. We want people to know Harakat al-Nizal.
The Harakat al-Nizal terror group has been pushing to separate the southwestern province of Khuzestan, which is home to Iran's Arab population.
Arab, Turk, or Persian. We are all Iranians and we will always remain united.
I took part in this funeral to show my support for the Islamic Republic and our leader Ayatollah Khamenei. We are one and nobody can divide us.
Today, I came here to send a message that we will always remain united.
Habib Farajullah Cha'ab, nicknamed Habib Osaivand, head of the terrorist group, was arrested in 2020. He stood trial in 2022, where he pleaded guilty and was convicted and sentenced to death. Iran's Supreme Court upheld the death sentence, and he was executed on May 6th. His mission remains a failed plot. Gisumisha Ahmadi, Tehran.
A vigil was held in Gaza denouncing the latest Israeli crimes in Nablus, which led to the killing of three Palestinian men and a woman. Israeli occupation forces raided Nablus city on Thursday morning and assassinated three freedom fighters. Israeli army claims that the victims are responsible for the resistance operation in the Jordan Sea last month. People from all walks of life in the besieged Gaza city came out in solidarity with the West Bank against the Israeli regime's atrocities, confirming their utter support for the Palestinian resistance in the West Bank.
Those who were killed by the Israeli occupation were defending the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and killing them in cold blood is a war crime committed by the Zionist criminals. These crimes would only increase the Palestinian resistance actions and strengthen their unity against the occupation forces.
Al-Ghul insisted on the unity of the Palestinian resistance factions in Gaza and the West Bank.
We urge the Arin al-Usud resistance group and all freedom fighters to unite. We are with you from Gaza, the 1948 occupied lands, the West Bank, and even from outside Palestinian territories in Lebanon and Syria. We are all awaiting the leader Mohammed al-Daif's commands to start battle and free Palestine.
On a separate incident, the Israeli forces murdered a Palestinian woman in Hawara town in Nablus. The assassination raised the death toll of the Palestinians to at least 102, including 20 children so far in 2023. During the vigil, people chanted slogans in defiance of the Israeli occupation and called for retaliation.
The Palestinian resistance is much more experienced against the Israeli occupation.
They started with nonviolent approaches and then raised the bar for the Zionist enemy due to its brutality against the Palestinians. The Palestinian resistance in the occupied West Bank learned lessons from what happened in Gaza and are now following their footsteps. The Israelis know that the resistance is now invincible. They are certain that the resistance is able to bring them down, especially when the Netanyahu cabinet faces serious challenges in the occupied lands.
Tensions have been escalating in the West Bank in the past months. The Israeli army has intensified its operations into the Palestinian cities and towns, during which they arrested and killed tens of Palestinians. The Israeli regime commits human rights violations and war crimes on a daily basis against the Palestinian people across all Palestinian territories. And with every crime, it knows that it becomes harder to restrain the Palestinian resistance actions. Ula Al-Asi, Gaza.
Millions of struggling homeowners with tracker mortgages across the 27-nation Eurozone will soon start paying back even more following a decision by the European Central Bank to increase interest rates by a quarter of 1%.
We have covered a lot of ground in the last 9 months, right? Moving from minus 50 basis points to plus 300 basis points. We are continuing this hiking process.
Rents are going up as landlords with mortgages pass on the costs. The aim is to bring down inflation, but disgruntled unions insist the strategy won't work. It's all linked to energy sanctions against Russia. EU citizens are being financially pummeled. However, the bloc's leaders have just agreed on a huge additional package to arm Ukraine.
So we are talking about $1 billion capacity to upscale our industrial base.
Ordinary people don't see an end in sight to the crippling cost of living crisis.
A person who is employed, he can survive, but just think about a person who is not employed, how it is impacting him.
If we don't have also like kind of a push on the wages, we will not be able to cope with that, and our reserves, our savings, we will go down.
Analysts suggest peace in Ukraine is the answer, but EU authorities say Kiev will be supplied with deadly weapons for as long as it takes.
It is for Ukraine, that is the country that has been attacked, to decide in which conditions it is ready to find peace with Russia.
Employment ministers have been assessing pressures on EU businesses due to high inflation and interest rates. Firms are also struggling to find skilled workers.
26% of companies all over Europe consider that labour shortage are a major difficulty for them.
Because EU leaders have cut off cheap gas and oil flows from Russia, winter 2023 will tell us all we need to know about the bloc's resilience, or lack thereof. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Italy-France government relationship appears to be again in freefall after French Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin said on Thursday that the Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni is incapable of solving Italy's migrant crisis on which she was elected. The derogatory remarks, also reiterated by French Transport Minister Clément Beaune on Friday, have caused uproar in the Italian government. Prime Minister Meloni is said to be on the verge of cancelling a planned trip to Paris to meet French President Emmanuel Macron, while Italy's Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani has demanded Paris an apology for what he called gratuitous and vulgar insults towards a friendly and allied country.
This rift of immigration can be framed in a European context with Italy that has repeatedly demanded to improve the burden distribution across the EU. This umpteenth diplomatic spat between Rome and Paris takes place on the backdrop of a new humanitarian emergency in Sudan, which can greatly exacerbate the migrant crisis.
Rome and Paris have often been at loggerheads in recent years. The latest rift dates back to November last year when a French NGO-run search and rescue vessel carrying more than 230 asylum seekers was refused a port of safety by Italy's government for around 3 weeks.
On that occasion, in response to the situation, the French government suspended plans to take in 3,500 refugees who had landed in Italy, contravening the European Union's migrant relocation mechanism.
We firmly believe that Brussels must develop a coherent approach to distributing the migrants across the EU. About 94,000 migrants landed in Italy in 2022. You know how many migrants were relocated to France? 38. And to Germany, 57.
Later on Friday, Paris sought to play down the fresh row with Rome, saying that Italy is an essential partner to France and their relationship is founded on mutual respect. Meanwhile, migrant arrivals in Italy have more than tripled from last year. The country's recent centres are overcrowded and some have passed the breaking point. Max Civili, Rome. Allah,
Allah, Allah, Allah. اون چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن می‌کند.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
May 13, 1984. Place: Husseiniya Jamaran, Tehran. Subject: Methods of Islamic Invitation. After the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his progeny, who observed that in time the Imams of the Muslims, peace be upon them, were under hard pressure of Bani Umayyah and Bani Abbas. Yet they communicated their subject to people as much as possible. Even in their supplications, if you studied supplications of Imam Sajjad and other immaculate Imams, you see that they brim with advance to prepare people for higher stations, which are beyond the grasp of ordinary people.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear audience, welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. Well, what we do in this program is to recite some sentences and parts of speech of the great leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh. We also try to speak about the meaning and interpretations of these sentences. Today, we want to talk about the concept of self-building from Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh's point of view. About this topic, he said, "We cannot reform our country unless we first reform ourselves." This sentence shows the significance of self-building for the person first and then for the society. A human being processes different kinds of selves, namely the self related to the physical body, the self related to the animal instincts, and human self. You know, the most valuable and precious self is the human self, what we made human beings as vicegerents of God upon earth has distinguished man from other creatures. And this is the heavenly spirit, which leads to change human souls. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh here is in fact referring to this ability of human soul to build itself. Imam Ali alayhi salam said in that regard, "من عرف شرف معناه وصانه عن دناءة شهوته وزور مناه." Whoever discovers the nobility of the self shall guard him against lowness of passions and false desires. So you see that the first step to build the self is in fact to discover its nobility and value.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
When the individual discovers the true value of his or her soul, then he or she would try to solve and compensate for the shortcomings of the self. The important point Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh made in here is that after a person tries in that way to build himself or herself, the manifestation of this action would be seen in the society, and in that way the whole society will become safe and sound. So do not underestimate the power of self-building and its effect to the society. When everybody tries to see his or her own faults instead of others, they will try to make themselves a better person, and along with that, they will help one another in the process of self-correction, and that is very important. That is why Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh emphasized on both processes of self-correction and reform in the society.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
ولا تتفرقوا فيه.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
كتاب
In the limelight.
Former U.S. President Donald Trump will not testify in writer E. Jean Carroll's civil defamation and battery case against him, after a Sunday afternoon deadline passed without the former president filing a motion to reopen the case. we take a look at the US media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. Former President Donald Trump rejected his last chance on Sunday, 7th of May, to testify at a civil trial where a longtime advice columnist has accused him of raping her in a luxury department store dressing room in 1996. Donald Trump, a Republican candidate for president in 2024, was given until 5 p.m. on Sunday, 7th of May, by U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan to file a request to testify. But nothing was filed. It was not a surprise. Donald Trump has not shown up once during the two-week Manhattan trial, where writer E. Jean Carroll testified for several days, repeating claims that she first made publicly in a 2019 memoir. She is seeking compensatory and punitive damages totaling millions of dollars. The jury has also watched lengthy excerpts from an October videotape deposition in which Donald Trump vehemently denied raping E. Jean Carroll or even really knowing her. Without Trump's testimony, lawyers were scheduled to make closing arguments on Monday, with deliberations likely to begin on Tuesday, 9th of May. After plaintiffs rested their case on Thursday, Trump attorney Joe Tacopina immediately rested the defense case as well as without calling any witnesses. He did not request additional time for Donald Trump to decide to testify. Joe Tacopina declined in an email to comment after the deadline passed on Sunday, 7th of May. On Thursday, U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan had given Donald Trump extra time to change his mind and request to testify. Though the judge did not promise he would grant such a request to reopen the defense case so Trump could take the stand. At the time, Judge Lewis Kaplan noted that he'd heard about news reports on Thursday in which Donald Trump told reporters while visiting his golf course in Doonbeg, Ireland, that he would probably attend the trial. Trump also criticized Judge Kaplan, a Bill Clinton appointee, as an extremely hostile and rough judge who doesn't like me very much. On the witness stand, E. Jean Carroll, 79 years old, testified that Donald Trump, 76 years old, raped her in spring of 1996 after they met at the entrance of the Midtown Manhattan department store Bergdorf Goodman. She said the encounter began as a fun and flirtatious outing as Trump coaxed her into helping him shop for a gift for another woman. She said they ended up in the store's desolate lingerie section where they teased each other to try on a see-through bodysuit. As E. Jean Carroll recalled it, laughter accompanied them into the dressing room where Donald Trump became violent, slamming her against the wall and trying to sexually assault her. In his deposition, Donald Trump said E. Jean Carroll made it up. He called it a false, disgusting lie delivered by a nutjob who was trying to stoke sales of her book. He also repeated comments he made in statements that she was not his type. "She's not my type, and that's 100% true," he said. And he repeated his claims in a 2005 Access Hollywood video in which he bragged that men who are celebrities can sexually assault women. "Historically, that's true with stars," he said. E. Jean Carroll sued Donald Trump in November, minutes after New York State enacted a law allowing adult sexual assault victims to sue others even if the attacks occurred decades ago. E. Jean Carroll's attorney, Roberta Kaplan, wrote a letter to the judge on Sunday to complain that Donald Trump still has not removed April 26 post on his social media network in which he called Carroll's allegations a made-up scam. And she noted that he repeated disparaging remarks about the trial 3 days ago in Ireland. After the 26th of April posting on Truth Social, Judge Kaplan, who is not related to E. Jean Carroll's lawyer, said Trump's comments were highly inappropriate and expressed concern that Donald Trump was trying to communicate to the jury about stuff that has no business being spoken about. The U.S. national broadcaster ABC News has also covered the same story and tells us more. Donald Trump will not testify in writer E. Jean Carroll's civil defamation and battery case against him after a Sunday afternoon deadline passed without the former president filing a motion to reopen the case. The two sides each rested their cases on Friday after Donald Trump declined to testify in his own defense, but Judge Lewis Kaplan gave Donald Trump until Sunday, 7th of May, to reconsider. Setting an afternoon deadline for Trump to file a motion to reopen the case for the sole purpose of testifying, in light of remarks that Donald Trump made while golfing in Europe, suggesting he would return to New York to confront his accuser. E. Jean Carroll, who brought the lawsuit in November, alleges that Donald Trump defamed her in his Truth Social post by calling her allegations a hoax and a lie, and saying, "This woman is not my type," when he denied her claim that Trump raped her in a Bergdorf Goodman dressing room in the 1990s. The former Elle magazine columnist added a charge of battery under a recently adopted New York law that allows adult survivors of sexual abuse to sue their alleged attacker regardless of the statute of limitations. Donald Trump has denied all the allegations that he raped E. Jean Carroll or defamed her. Each side is expected to deliver closing statements on Monday. The judge is then expected to charge the jury on Tuesday, 9th of May, followed by the start of deliberations. This month's trial is taking place as Donald Trump seeks the White House for a third time, while facing numerous legal challenges related to the 6th of January Capitol attack, his handling of classified material after leaving the White House, and possible attempts to interfere in Georgia's 2020 presidential election.
Start. Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamu alaikum, dear listeners, and welcome back to your favorite program. And this is Youth Station from IRIB English Radio. I'm Hassanain, your host, and we have a co-host in the studio. Salamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum salam. I am Asma, and I'm very happy to be here once more.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Hope you all are doing well. How can you make our life even better? What do you think?
How can we make life better? Life is life.
Like, what's the difference between the life of human beings and the life of animals? And the life of animals?
Of course, the brain is the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You as human beings, would use your brain to make things perfect for yourself, or decide, make decisions, and pick things that are going to make your life better.
Okay, so today we want to talk how can a religion or a deen, make your life happier.
Very interesting.
There's a reason behind why I ask you the question, like, how is the life of a human being different from the life of an animal?
Mm-hmm.
So what I believe is, deen, what is deen? First of all, we need to look what deen is. So deen is a way of living life.
It's a lifestyle.
As per Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So deen gives you a certain set of principles and norms according to which you live your life.
Yeah.
Well, it's living life.
It's
even
the instruction book.
Yeah, the instruction book. Also, even the animals live their life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even they sleep, they eat, they roam around the streets, they hang out with their friends. And, you know, even animals do that.
Yeah.
They don't have any set of rules. They can sleep wherever they want. They can go wherever they want.
Yeah.
But, you know, one religion, one deen, it gives you certain principles which you have to abide. So, and, you know, as Islam is a religion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the purpose is, you know, you have to follow this, you know, so that you reach the sa'adat, you reach the happiness, you reach
prosperity.
The kamal and prosperity.
So there comes a question. So you said that we need a religion to have a happier life. But mm-hmm. then maybe among the audience, there'd be a person who's living in the Western societies and tell you that our neighbors are all atheists.
Mm-hmm.
Still, they have a society and they're living together, mm-hmm. happily perhaps, because they seem so.
Mm-hmm.
They do not believe in anything. They do not have any border. So they are happier than me who have a border. You know what I mean?
You know, sometimes, like, you know, some people seem to be happier, but they're actually not. From the inside, they're actually in the depression. As you said, you know, mentioned the Western society.
Yeah.
Most of the atheists are we find in, you know, the Western areas. So, but even the West is the largest consumer of, you know, stress pills and depression pills. You know, some people seem to be happy. That's why I try to, you know, distinguish a life of a human being and a life of animals. Because, you know, they don't have any borders, right?
Yeah.
Even, yeah, there's the same case with the animals. You're a human being. You have certain rules and regulations, you know, or else, you know, if everyone says that I don't want any borders, I do not have any rules and regulations, I live my life however the way I want.
Yeah, maybe you would
imagine,
be happy for
imagine,
just
now,
one
imagine,
or 2 years.
Now imagine a certain group of people,
mm-hmm.
they're saying this, you know, I don't want any rules and regulations.
Yeah.
Imagine tomorrow if everyone says that, there will be a disaster in this world.
Anarchy would happen.
You know, if everyone says that, you know, I don't want any borders. You know, I won't abide to any rules and regulations. There will be a disaster in the world.
So, you know, those who are atheists do believe in the laws
mm-hmm.
that their society would rectify for them.
Okay, so you say that they believe in the, you know, the laws of the country.
Yeah.
But they don't believe in any religious law.
Exactly.
Like, you know, maybe...
just like the humanistic idea and point of view of people back in time. When they started their humanistic point of view, they said that as a human being, you put yourself in the center of every single thing and forget about other things.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, as you have mentioned, you know, that they abide to the country's laws, but they don't have any religious laws. So, I would like to mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, Islam is the nature of a human being. You know, it's in the fitrat, it's in the nature of a human being.
Yeah.
So, and as I've mentioned earlier, you know, some people seem to be happy, but they're actually not. You know, even if he tells you that he's happy, but, you know, deep inside he knows himself.
I guess every single one of us knows the truth deep down. And I right now would like to ask the audience a question. Just think about it. Imagine that you can forget about all the religions and be free. So what? After a year, after 2 years, so what? Wouldn't this be your question Okay, this was the end of it. I crossed all the borders right now, so what? So, to get the answer, let's go for a short break and then we'll be back.
Welcome back to your audience, and before the break, we were talking about, Islam being the nature of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
So over here, when Islam is the nature of a human being, when Allah has set a certain set of rules and regulations, so Allah knows what is best for the human beings. So when you live according to that, mm-hmm. according to the principles that what are best for you, so definitely you're going to have a better life and a happier life. So, when you don't have any religion,
You
don't have any principles. Or rather, I would say you don't have any rules and regulations. When you don't have any rules and regulations, you can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You don't have any limitations. You don't have any borders. So when you don't have any borders, you do anything you want. And, some of the things that, that have been forbidden in the religion of Islam.
Yeah.
So if anything is forbidden, it has been forbidden for a reason.
Exactly.
And, consumption of alcohol, it is bad for your health. It is injurious to your health. And, adultery and all, it creates a mishap. Everything's been done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a reason.
Exactly, yeah. Even Allah himself says in the Holy Book of Quran that, إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. So that means, naturally, instinctively, we all know about the truth and about the wrong path, which mm-hmm. leads to hell. So it is our decision to pick it. Which one we'd like more. And just as you said, if there is any rule in a religion, it is for our benefit. Because we know that, for example, if I lie, there would be a consequence for that lie. And it's not going to end that because I have to say more of lies. Maybe I have to commit other sins in the way of protecting that lie. So it's not going to get into a happy ending. If I do this or that, whatever the wrong thing that has been mentioned in the Holy Book, so if we have been asked not to do them, mm-hmm. it has got a reason for that. And it is the reason behind that is that I'm not going to end up happily. And it is for my benefit to take it into consideration that this thing or that thing is just considered as a sin and is going to pollute my soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, exactly. It pollutes you because even the research says, like music, let's talk about music, The youth is much into music, right? So even, this hip-hop and, these bands and all.
Harsh musics that would really distract you.
With high bass and all. Even the research says, these type of musics, they lead one to depression and committing crimes.
Exactly.
So, these things... As once again, I'm mentioning it, the things that have been forbidden by Allah, they are for a reason. They, if you get involved in it, it destroys you. It pollutes a human being's mind.
So right now we came to this conclusion that if I live freely with no rules, then I'm not going to be happy. Maybe... The thing that I show to other people is that I'm a happy person. I'm doing every single thing I want. But deep down, I feel so sad of the result of the things that I have done or of the emptiness that I feel in my life because I do not believe in anything. Mm-hmm. And when you do not believe in anything, then you do not have a thing to stick to. Yeah. In your hard days, in your rainy days. And when you do not have that source of motivation in your life, then you truly are depressed. and life feels so empty.
Exactly, right? You know, as we were talking about atheists, where will he go when he's in depression, when he's broke, when he loses hope? Where will he go?
Yeah. Many of them end up going for suicide.
Exactly. And if you're lost in a desert, if you're lost in the middle of the sea,
yeah,
we have someone to call upon. Like, we call, like, oh, Lord, like, save us.
Yeah, we have hope in something.
Yeah, we have hope in something. And what will the atheists do?
Mm-hmm.
Even the atheists, you know, in the corner of his heart, he will have a hope that someone will save me.
Yeah.
And Imam mentions that someone is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Youth Station.
You know, when a human being goes through trials and tribulations, and he has some hope that something will save him,
mm-hmm.
that someone or something is God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, we get that. There is no doubt that for a prosperous life, we need a religion. We need a set of rules. We need someone to believe in. We need someone to stick on. Now that I believe that, can I live happily with a religion?
The answer, again, depends upon the circumstances, upon the situations.
And how truthful you are, I guess.
No. I'm not talking about, you know, this. I'm talking from the other way around. You know, if you have a religion, you know, if there are no obstructions, yes, it leads to a happy life. You know, you're following your religion, you're living in a, you know, good manner, good way, you know, it leads to a happy life. But if you're religious, you know, you might face problems from the people that are not religious.
Uh-huh.
You know, people might become your enemy because of your faith.
Yeah.
So,
I got your angle.
It depends upon the circumstances.
Yes. Yeah, that's very true. But still, if you have faith in the only one who's going to help
you, nothing is going to seem so difficult. Nothing will make a difference if you have that strong faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was all we spoke about today. So, and we came to a conclusion, you know, deen is a way of living life as per Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we live life accordingly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has advised us. This leads us to a happy life. This was all the time we had for today. And we'll see you another day with another topic. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.